It's The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School went back to school today, 6 months after the mass shooting there in Parkland, Florida. Since that shooting, survivors have been organizing around gun control, and they've been inspiring some students here in the Puget Sound area. KUOW's youth media program Radioactive made a podcast about the Parkland teenagers and student activists here, and two of them are with me now. Justin Velasco helped found the Seattle chapter of Students Demand Action. He's now an incoming sophomore at Seattle Pacific University. And Sophie Poole helped organize a student walkout at Mercer Island High School. She's now an incoming freshman at Barnard College in New York. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Justin, years before the Parkland, Florida shooting, you were involved in an active shooter drill. What happened there?
Growing up in Maple Valley, my junior high participated with the local police department to have active shooter drills every year at our school. So we would shut down school for a day. The police would come in, act like there was an active shooter, shut down the school, evacuate. And I was part of drama club. And as part of drama club, we were cast to play the victims. So we would put on fake makeup and, you know, fake wounds and blood and run around the school as victims, obviously. And, you know, at the time it was really fun because you got to miss school and, you know, it was a fun day. But, you know, looking back on it with a little bit of distance, it's kind of twisted what we had to do, you know, and we ran around acting out a very demented, twisted scenario in our own, you know, environment. And thinking about it now, it changes how it was viewed.
Well, what was the purpose then, and how did it fail, or did it succeed in getting people, making the issue visceral?
Right then, it was pure practicality for if it did happen. So yeah. It was supposed to be a training drill if, God forbid, it ever came to fruition. We practiced it every year just to make sure that the police had training with it, with the school protecting the students if it ever happened. But there was never any conversation with students, with the teachers, with anyone about why we did it, about what the issue was, and about how we could prevent that from actually happening.
And what turned you into an activist on this issue? Was it one event? Was it what changed in you?
I would say Parkland obviously influenced me heavily. Mm-hmm. Seeing students my own age doing something like that, and then I can pinpoint one moment specifically. It was about like a week and a half after Parkland, and I picked my little sister up from the high school that I graduated from, and I got her in the car, and she just started crying, and I looked at her and I was like, Amy, oh my God, what's wrong? And she said that they were at lunch that day and the fire alarm had gone off. And instead of exiting the school in an orderly manner, you know, to go out to the baseball field or the football field and stand out there like you would during a fire drill, everyone thought it was a shooter and people started screaming and the administrators were telling them, get off campus, run, run. And my little sister and her friends just ran. They thought they were running for their lives, and they ran to the local kind of shopping complex, and everyone was crying and screaming. And that was a moment for me where I was like, this shows that there is something deeply wrong. If we cannot hear a fire alarm and that is not our immediate reaction.
Mm-hmm. Sophie, what turned you into an activist? You weren't, that wasn't always you?
Yeah.
How you identified?
I was really involved with the paper at my high school, so I was the editor-in-chief my senior year, and there had been a lot of threats to my high school previous to Parkland, threats that were completely not credible, but kind of scared our school, and one day our school was shut down, and as the editor-in-chief, I knew that I wanted us to release some editorials. You know, it's not okay to joke about violence towards a school. It's not okay to joke about violence, period. So these issues had kind of been on my mind. And then when Parkland occurred, and I was looking at the list of the victims and kind of reading a little bit more about them, I was just struck by all the parallels between people that I knew in my life and people that were victims at Parkland, which inspired me to write and kind of try to process it. And I knew that I had to do something.
What do you mean by a parallel?
Just like there was a cross-country coach, I think, who was killed at Parkland. And my journalism advisor, Mr. Twombly, he was a cross-country coach at my school. A student was a national merit semifinalist, and she never got to find out. And I know I had friends who had received that honor, and how, you know, how smart and intelligent and strong they were, knowing like that's so similar to people that I know in my community. And yeah, so it was difficult to see and hear. Yeah.
What did your parents say when you said, I want to organize a walkout from Mercer Island High School?
They were really encouraging. At first, I was doubtful. I was like, why me? Why should I be the one, you know, to kind of spearhead this or take this on? Obviously, I had so much. It was not just me. There were a big group of kids. We organized a Facebook group, and we all started talking. But I was kind of mulling it over with my parents, I was like, okay, like, should I be the one to kind of get involved with this? And they were like, why not? If not you, who will it be? And because it was my senior year in high school, I had kind of established myself as a person that was going to be a leader and going to speak on these issues just because of the paper and the stuff that had happened previous. So yeah, I kind of took that leap, and I'm really glad I did, because I knew it was something that needed to happen, especially in my community where activism isn't the first maybe reaction when things go wrong.
What has surprised you the most about being active on a very public issue, Justin?
I would say, at least specifically, I went into this with no knowledge of how to do anything. I was completely clueless, and I'll be the first to admit that. And I think, at least in a lot of cases, that kind of scares people into not doing anything because they don't know how to react or how to put their anger or their emotions and their energy into something meaningful. And I think my biggest kind of learning curve or surprise when jumping into this is how easy it is just to do something, to reach out to an organization that you know cares about the issue and kind of ask, what can I do to help? And they'll give you something, and you can do small actions, take large actions, but you can do something pretty easily without a lot of knowledge to make a difference.
That's interesting. It's easier than you might think.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And Sophie, what about you? Anything surprise you once you've gotten in the middle of this issue?
Yeah, I think it's how much people care. I think there were maybe tensions and conflicts between the people who were trying to organize the group to create this walkout. But at the end of the day, it was because we all really cared so passionately. And I think that's what's so cool about like kids our age, even though we maybe don't have the previous or the prior knowledge about how to become an activist or how to, you know, create events that will reverberate change in our community. I think we have this passion and this drive to really, you know, make a change because we don't have anything telling us we can't.
Justin, what are the media missing when we cover school shootings and youth activism?
I think one thing the media is missing is a lot of times, at least in my opinion, when I see events covered, it's covered as a singular event, a single walkout, a single march, a single rally. And it's marketed as that specifically, and that's kind of all that you highlight. But in reality, there's many people all over the country, just like Sophie and myself, that are out there extending it beyond just a single rally. You know, we're out there trying to get voter registration drives up and running, mm-hmm. trying to educate people about the issues that are on the ballot, trying to, you know, hold candidate forums to talk to them about gun violence prevention issues. And what the media often, in my opinion, portrays student events as is maybe one event fueled by anger or by one common energy source, whereas it's a prolonged effort towards a larger goal.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think as students, we're taught, you know, to like keep pursuing something, and it doesn't end just on March 14th when that walkout happened. You know, the conversation kept going, and because of that walkout or because of the group that you got to organize, a lot of students for the first time experienced activism and experienced, you know, being a part of something that really mattered, I think. So that's also part of the story.
Have the media exaggerated how divisive and hostile the debate is? Because we've seen a lot of that, people characterizing students this way and that way. In your experience, has it, you know, how much dissension versus bridge building, what's it actually like?
I think it was important with our walkout. We had the first part of it was, you know, remembering the victims. And, you know, I think everyone can get behind that. You know, we're remembering these people who, you know, their lives were so tragically lost, and it's very unfair and it's upsetting. And I think everyone can feel that emotion and resonate with that. And so the first part of our walkout was dedicated to that. We had, you know, moments of silence, and we read like short biographies of all the victims. And then the second part, we had, you know, speakers. We had Representative Tana Sen, we had the mayor from Mercer Island, and we had student speakers who were connected to the issue in some way. So I think that's when it maybe got a little more political. And so maybe if people didn't agree with some of the stances regarding gun control that some of the people were, you know, espousing, they could, you know, they could leave. It is interesting, you know, even, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, we all, you know, have an opinion, we all care, we all sometimes care about different things. So that was definitely interesting to tackle.
But did you ever feel caricatured or lose a friend? Or, you know, has anything been difficult in that way about it?
You know, I don't think I've lost a friend. I think people maybe just, they go, oh, she's that girl who is really, you know, really liberal. She really cares about gun control, and she really cares about, you know, I think you kind of get that stereotype attached to you. And, you know, I don't mind that personally, because I don't think I'd want to be friends with someone if they didn't respect my passion for this issue. They don't have to agree, but if they don't respect it, I feel like maybe that's not a person that I need to be friends with. Yeah.
How about you, Justin? Have you experienced any of that sort of discord and criticism, or has it been more the bridge building that we all kind of keep talking about how we're supposed to, what we're supposed to be doing?
I think I'm lucky. I haven't run into a large amount of discord or disagreement in relation to what my group has been doing. I think at the end of the day, kind of just like what you just said, at the end of the day, people are being killed, and I think no one wants that, right? We can all get behind that. That is a goal that everyone should be behind. And I think sometimes if we can just have a honest face-to-face conversation about the real problem here, the people are losing their lives, I think we can get a lot done if we just talk about it in a civilized manner.
Mm-hmm. But what's the real problem that everyone can agree on?
The people are dying. People are being killed every day in this issue, and it needs a solution.
What's a solution that you hope you can point to and say it was all worth it? Or has it already been worth it?
I think, at least personally, what my friends and I are trying to do in our group is get people to voice their opinions, at least with voting. Voter registration, getting people out to the polls to express their opinions and their views in the voter booth, you know, because that is a way to really influence what is going on in our country and have your voice heard.
Sophie, any final thoughts on what it is that would make you look back and say it was all worth it, or is it already worth it?
I think that if someone, you know, attended an event that Justin organized or was able to go to a walkout at their high school and it was kind of their first instance of being like, oh, this is what activism means, or this is what change means, then, and they continue on that path, I think that would make it worth it.
Sophie Poole helped organize the walkout at Mercer Island High School, but it's been a lot more than that, as we've said, and she's now an incoming freshman. Barnard College in New York, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Justin Velasco helped found the Seattle chapter of Students Demand Action. Good luck in your sophomore year coming up at Seattle Pacific University.
Thank you.
They're both featured, by the way, in a podcast, a two-part podcast on the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. It was produced by KUOW's youth media program, Radioactive, and you can find a link to that podcast on our website, kuow.org.